KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We've got a lot on our plate to discuss today, and we're going to be starting with COVID. I mean, we are seeing unbelievable orders coming out. State of Illinois just recently closing all indoor dining, bars, restaurants closed. Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer is going to require restaurants to take the names, contact information of their diners. If you don't provide it, well, that restaurant could ban you from service there. Matter of fact, if the restaurant fails to get this information, they are subjecting themselves to severe fines, even imprisonment. In addition, we got to indoor gatherings for weddings, banquets, and other events in non-residential settings without fixed seating could be limited to just 50, down from 500. Restaurants prohibited from seating more than six people at a table. So if you get a wedding party with seven, guess what? Dad and mom will have to sit with somebody else. Meanwhile, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, he indicates mask mandates and social distancing may be necessary through 2021 and, yeah, into 2022. According to our guest today, totalitarians and con artists who have hyped and exploited the coronavirus panic to steal freedom and destroy livelihoods are in the crosshairs for a coming tsunami of legal action. Joining us today on this matter of COVID, totalitarians, with also comments on tomorrow's election, we welcome back Alex Newman, international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, consultant, foreign correspondent for The New American, and always is on the road attending UN and international summits and keeping abreast of what's happening there, author of the book Crimes of the Educators. Alex, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Certainly, we put on the news, Alex, and it's always front and center, the top of every newscast. It's the front page of every newspaper above the fold. Describe for us what you call the weaponization of the pandemic.
Well, what totalitarians have done, and it's not just unique to COVID, but what they've done with COVID is hyped it and exploited it as a pretext to undermine virtually every freedom you can think of, even those freedoms that we've always kind of seen in America as sacrosanct. I mean, they're, you know, protected in the First Amendment, our right to speak freely, our right to go to church, our right to peaceably assemble. All of them are in the crosshairs right now. And it goes even beyond that. I mean, even our responsibilities are now being targeted. They're not letting us open up our businesses. They're not letting us go to work. We've had 60 million Americans who filed for unemployment since the start of the pandemic. So I think what has happened here is a strategic, a deliberate effort to try to undermine the economy, to try to undermine individual freedom, to try to terrorize the American people, to get them to go along with this economic destruction and this total theft of our individual liberties. And these totalitarians have been planning this stuff for a very long time. And I'm not saying they deliberately released COVID, although that's, you know, I don't think is outside the realm of possibility, but that they have been planning to exploit a pandemic, to steal freedom, to do exactly what they've done for at least a decade is indisputable. We've got the documents proving it, and they outlined exactly what they're doing now. They outlined it 10 years ago in a report out of the Rockefeller Foundation. They talked about it in October of 2019, at Event 201, they laid the foundation for this long before it happened, and now we have massive economic destruction. We have the evisceration of individual liberties, and we have not seen the end of this yet, unfortunately.
And that's one of the strongest things Donald Trump had going for him was the economy.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it was incredible unemployment numbers, massive GDP growth. We're finally getting some of this international trade in order where all these other governments have been kind of exploiting the United States, mm-hmm. ripping us off, as the president put it. Finally, we were starting to get some of this under control, seeing real economic growth, seeing an explosion in new business creation, explosion in employment numbers, you know, wage increases across the board. Incredible. And then along comes this communist Chinese virus, this coronavirus, and not only knocks us all down, but takes us way back before we were. And when you actually look at the numbers that we have seen, you know, 60 million people who've lost their jobs since the start of these lockdowns, According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the U.S. GDP shrank by more than 33% in the second quarter of 2020. That makes the Great Depression look small by comparison. And granted, we've rebounded some from there, mostly because the president has been calling out the totalitarians and calling for the economy to be reopened and calling for governors to quit terrorizing their people and acting like dictators. But, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. And when you add all that money printing to this, you see we've gone from an economy on a pretty sound footing that was growing, that was providing prosperity across the board, to an economy that is in shambles and is probably going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
Now, you've also indicated that beside the economic impact that there is another impact, and that's the loss of human life as well, not that we're seeing necessarily from COVID, but from the lockdowns, the loss of life taking place. Flesh that out for us, if you would.
Yeah, so there's an incredible group that's formed up in Germany and in Europe, and they're working very closely with Americans. It's the Corona Extra Parliamentary Inquiry Committee. In German, that's the Außerparlamentarische Corona Untersuchungsausschuss. They call it the ACU for short. And what they have been showing is that the damage from the government response and the corporate response to the pandemic has been massive. And so they talk about, for example, the trauma now that has been unleashed on children around the world. You talk about the people who had to forego medical treatment because they weren't allowed to go to the doctor or they weren't allowed to go to the hospital. You talk about the people who have just been isolated in their homes to the point where they've entered into just desperation. Mm-hmm. Many of them have taken their own lives now. The damage that has resulted from this is incalculable. And so this group of attorneys and doctors and scientists is saying, hey, you know, the people who caused this, they cannot get away with it. They must be held accountable. And so they're now trying to quantify this. They've looked at the data, and what they've said is basically COVID-19 is not a big deal at all. In fact, it's probably less serious than the flu. But the damage that governments and big corporations have unleashed, supposedly in response to this COVID, is absolutely astronomical.
Okay, a couple.
So they're preparing now class action lawsuits.
Okay, a couple of questions about this. How large is this group?
Well, they've got four primary lawyers who are leading the effort, and these are not fly-by-night lawyers. Actually, the attorney who is leading this effort, his name is Dr. Fjulmich. He has led some of these enormous and incredibly powerful lawsuits against major corporations. For example, he's one of the ones who took down that Deutsche Bank, mm-hmm. which you know, was one of the world's biggest and most important banks. Today, it's you know, almost universally regarded as a criminal operation, as he put it. He took down Volkswagen when they were exposed with the fraud on their vehicle emissions. So he's got a long track record of holding companies and very powerful players accountable. So he has brought together a number of these lawyers who are interested in this, and he's licensed to practice law in the state of California and also in Germany. And he has brought together hundreds of doctors and scientists. When I wrote my article a couple weeks ago, it was at about 500. Now we are talking about much bigger numbers. And out of the woodwork, tens of thousands of scientists are now coming out and doctors and saying, hey, this was totally crazy. And yeah, people need to be held accountable. We need to stop the lockdowns. We need to go back to normal life.
Okay, so Alex, how can we do that? I mean, you see the headlines, and not unless you've not been listening to the news. I mean, as I said, you know, they dominate every newscast. We see the spike that's happening in all across this country. We've got now Illinois shutting down the state. We've got these new laws that are coming to pass in Michigan. We've got state after state that's enacting these measures to protect us from the virus. And we look globally. We see countries, whole countries, that are shutting down. We're going to shut everything down for a month. So you mentioned that this is not anything more significant than the flu or the number of deaths with the flu. How do we rationalize this when we see all of this taking place before our eyes?
Yeah, that's one of the arguments that these attorneys have been making. And to quote Dr. Fjulmich here, that the COVID has not caused any excess mortality anywhere in the world. Okay, he's using the government's own data to look at this. And what he's saying also is that there's deliberate fraud being perpetrated here. And one of the places where he and the others involved in this operation have looked is the so-called testing, right? They're using this test, the polymerase chain reaction test. They're called the PCR test.
Yeah.
And Yeah, they're really misusing these. In fact, the guy who invented this test, his name was Dr. Kerry Mullis. He died just a couple months before the pandemic was unleashed. And he received a Nobel Prize in chemistry for this. And he was very, very clear about the purpose of this test, about what it should be used for, about how it works. And I've got videos of him. I've used these in my talks around the country, saying this is not a suitable tool for diagnosing anybody with anything. He said you can find absolutely anything you want to find anywhere. In fact, he said that the way the PCR test works, it almost makes you believe in this Buddhist idea that everything is in everything. Because he said if you could find one molecule, the PCR test can amplify it to the point where it becomes measurable. And so they can do these tests on people, and they can come back as you know, we found some coronavirus, and then that looks like a positive test, when in reality the person is not infected, the person is not contagious, the person has no symptoms, the person is literally not infected with COVID-19. And what he's arguing, and the other people involved in this coalition are arguing, is that this is a deliberate fraud. This is not a secret that I'm revealing. I mean, the guy who invented the test said this publicly on multiple occasions. This is not what it's for. He actually cites German officials and American officials, including officials at the CDC, saying you cannot use the PCR test the way that it's being used now. And yet this has been the basis for all the hysteria, Jim. That's, you know, they're using this test and they're saying, oh, we have a spike in cases, we have a surge in, you know, people being infected, when in reality, according to this team of lawyers, scientists, and doctors, that is absolutely a deliberate fraud being perpetrated against humanity in order to justify the totalitarianism and, of course, the profiteering. There's a lot of people making a lot of money during this whole fiasco.
Such as who?
Well, one that comes to mind for me, and this is not one that specifically was addressed by the organization, is Jeff Bezos. You know, I actually own some shares of Amazon, and I've watched the price. The price of the shares of Amazon has literally doubled since the start of this lockdown. That shouldn't be surprising. Everybody's staying home and ordering online. Well, guess what? Jeff Bezos also owns some media properties, including the Washington Post, which has been one of the most vicious publications in attacking Republicans and President Trump for supposedly not doing enough to destroy the economy under the guise of saving us from COVID. That's one example among many. The big pharmaceutical companies are the ones that Dr. Frutnik and some of these others in the ACU coalition are really targeting, because they're making huge money on vaccine contracts. They're making huge money on propaganda, on deals with the government. And so these are some of the people he's looking at. But isn't it interesting, Jim? Your mom-and-pop shop cannot be open, and yet Walmart can be. The stock prices for Walmart have gone up 50% since the start of the pandemic.
Yep.
Why can't we go to Walmart, but we can't go to church? Why can we go to Walmart, but we can't go to you know, mom-and-pop-owned business? It makes no sense unless you see that there are people who are exploiting this for financial gain.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about COVID totalitarians. We're talking about the 2020 election. We're going to be getting further into that here in this next segment, and critical issues that are impacting us at this time. What is the purpose for all of these things? Alex, I understand that there are these lawsuits, thousands of Americans wanting to sign up for these. Have these class action suits begun?
They have not been filed yet. Right now, they're still in the phase of gathering plaintiffs. They're still gathering evidence and information. But at some point in the not-too-distant future, they will be filing in the United States, in Canada, and also in Europe.
We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is it true that the Archaeopteryx was the transition between reptiles and birds?
Chris, it's very popular to say these days that dinosaurs evolved into birds, but this doesn't square with the evidence. Evolutionists claim the ancestor of the birds is Archaeopteryx, a fossil with some features of dinosaurs and some of birds. Now, even though I would question their claim about Archaeopteryx, it's still dated at 30 million years older than the dinosaur. Obviously, the dinosaurs were not its ancestor. Even most evolutionists have given up on Archaeopteryx. It looks like they were separate right from the start. Of course, that's what the Bible says. Back in Genesis, we read that birds were created on day 5 of creation week and land animals like dinosaurs on day 6. Evolution has it backwards.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
fear and panic is what is being portrayed to the American people night after night on the news. They open the pages of a paper where they get news feeds coming from a variety of sources. Alex Newman is our guest here today. Alex, what is the end game for this? I mean, this hype, you talked about this, the PCR tests that are giving results that are highly suspect, in that the developer that said that they were never intended for this very purpose of diagnostic of any virus here in this regard. What is the end game with all of this?
Well, I think the clearest indication we have right now is that we are moving toward the so-called Great Reset. You and I actually did a show on this, I think it was a couple months ago now, on the Great Reset. And it has now become very clear that the Great Reset is really the answer to the engineered economic destruction, political destruction, and evisceration of individual liberty that is coming about as a result of the hysteria surrounding COVID. So they're burning down our economies. They're bankrupting hundreds of thousands. Probably if you look globally, we're probably talking millions of businesses are being bankrupted right this moment. Tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people are out of work. Savings are being decimated. Currencies are being decimated. And out of the ashes of all this, they want to sell us on this Great Reset. They say, hey, we ruined your economy. Your life is miserable now. You're locked in your home. But don't worry. We can fix it. All you have to do is accept this Great Reset. And, you know, we talked for an hour about the Great Reset a couple months ago. You and I, Jim, I encourage people to go back and listen to that podcast, to that episode, because even in that hour, we only scratched the surface. But they're talking about a total transformation of everything, of the economy, of business, even of your mindset, as Klaus Schwab, one of the architects of this Great Reset, famously put it in one of his speeches announcing it. So these are big plans, and they really do want to transform the world. They want to move away from the whole American idea of God-given rights and limited government and free markets and nation states and traditional families, and move toward this kind of brave new Orwellian world that they're hoping to impose on us, using the pain that they unleashed on us through the coronavirus panic as the pretext.
Friends, you can go back to crosstalkamerica.com. You'll find that interview July 15. It initially aired. We gave a rebroadcast to it as well. But July 15th was the initial broadcast, the Great Reset, to usher in the new world order. And that's all what's at play here, Alex. And let's talk. Tomorrow we've got this national election that is coming to an end, we think. But I guess for some states it's going to be going on for a week plus after this. But how is this whole matter of coronavirus and the totalitarian approach to it, how is this all impacting election 2020?
Well, I think before the coronavirus panic, Donald Trump's reelection was practically set in stone. I mean, the economy was booming. There was virtually no way the establishment and the Democrat Party and the Communist Chinese government would have been able to dislodge him. People typically vote with their economics in mind, and hey, my job is doing well, my business is doing well, my salary's going up, everybody's employed, let's give Donald Trump a second term. Suddenly, the economy was shredded, and also I think there's an element of the vote here, too. Donald Trump has been very clear about the risk of fraud from this voting by mail and all these weird shenanigans that Democrats have been trying to implement. I think it really gave them multiple opportunities to try to rig the vote. And Donald Trump has been speaking about this very forcefully and very clearly. Unfortunately, he's been censored by the social media companies when trying to sound the alarm. But I have no doubt whatsoever that there are very subversive forces, forces that don't adhere to the same morality that Christians would, that are using this as an opportunity to try to rig the vote. I mean, voting by mail, I think, is so risky on so many fronts, just as the president explained. He actually urged his supporters to go out and vote in person everywhere except the state of Florida because of the risk of fraud. And yet now we see all these governors locking down their states again, especially Illinois. Something very, very fishy is going on here, and it was all made possible through the coronavirus pandemic.
And at the same time, they're scaring the public about even going to the polls and voting tomorrow.
That's right. You're not supposed to go out of your house unless it is to protest or to burn down churches and Bibles and things like that. Other than that, you're supposed to stay in your house.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's been very effective. I was in Oklahoma a couple months ago, and I was listening to some of the Republican leaders there talk about what was happening as a result of the vote, and it was going to be hugely damaging to the Republican Party. in districts like the Oklahoma City area. So they, I think they've planned this out very well. And every time Donald Trump has tried to fight back or even speak out, he's been maligned, he's been demonized. Now we have the Transition Integrity Project. They've done these war game scenarios, supposedly bipartisan, but it was all Never Trump, you know, rhinos. And they've done these war game scenarios, and they said, hey, if Donald Trump complains about vote fraud, if Donald Trump complains about the election being rigged, that's just more evidence that he's a dictator and that we need the military to march him out of the Oval Office.
Hmm.
So none of this would have been possible without the coronavirus pandemic.
When you look and consider this election tomorrow, Alex, what do you see as most at stake for this nation?
I think this is the clearest election in my lifetime where the options are just so obvious, right? One path leads to at least preserving our political institutions, you know, preserving some semblance of free markets, our U.S. Constitution, our system of government, our cultural values. The other side, represented by Joe Biden, they've told us what they want to do. I mean, they're talking about eviscerating our economy. They're talking about surrendering ever greater quantities of our sovereignty to international organizations and regional governments and UN agencies. Just for Christians, I think Biden made it very clear. He said his top legislative priority when he got elected was going to be to the passage of the Equality Act.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Equality Act is essentially unleashing federal persecution of Christians and the church, in just plain English, right? Your church won't be able to refuse to do homosexual weddings without having the federal government come down on them. It's, just blatant, in-your-face discrimination and persecution of Christians in America legalized at the federal level, something that would have been inconceivable, and yet Donald Trump stands for exactly the opposite, protecting religious liberty and protecting Christians from the overbearing power of government and the LGBT movement. So on almost every issue,
yeah,
the contrast could not be more clear.
They're really polar opposites. I mean, you think about our First Amendment, the free exercise of religion. We think about freedom of speech, polar opposites between the two candidates. We think also about the Second Amendment and the issues pertaining to it. That is very much going to be at stake. Our treatment of Israel is going to be very much polar opposites the direction between these two candidates. We think of the whole Iran issue. We think of environmental issues, the Green New Deal. We think of the Paris Climate Accord, and on and on. They are just polar opposites, and I believe you're right, Alex. We have not seen such a differential opinion in candidates as clear and stark as what we're seeing in this campaign.
That's right, and yeah, I think if we had an honest election, it would be a very simple win for Donald Trump. I don't even think there'd be a legitimate contest. I think the polls are beyond rigged, and I think they're massively rigged for the purpose of psychological warfare and demoralizing the American people and trying to provide a little bit of cover for the vote fraud that they're planning to unleash. And this is not speculation. I mean, you look at the way these polls are done, it's so obvious how they're deficient. They're massively oversampling Democrats. They're claiming that Democrats are much more enthusiastic. Anybody with eyes to see knows that's ridiculous. You know, Donald Trump flies into a small town and 80,000 people show up.
Yeah.
Joe Biden comes into town. You might have 10 people there and a couple of staffers, and there's more Trump flags waving outside than there are Biden flags waving inside.
Right.
You know, anybody can see that the narrative is phony. But they need to have some sort of explanation for where all these magical votes came from, and I think that's where the media narrative is coming from.
And so if they have all these skewed polls, as we're seeing them now, and if all of a sudden a Trump victory would take place, then they will say, oh, there's voter fraud, that somehow Donald Trump manipulated the voting, and the Republican Party did this and that, and so therefore we need to take action. Matter of fact, Alex, as I speak right now, there are businesses that are boarding up in Washington, D.C. in preparation for what a group is referring to itself as Shutdown D.C. What's important for us to know? Who is this group? What are they about?
Yeah, there's this whole constellation of radical Marxist revolutionary organizations. Right at the core of it is the Sunrise Movement. And we just had some new videos of this operation leak, this whole Shutdown D.C. scheme. And they are targeting multiple cities, not just Washington, D.C., but especially Washington, D.C., for absolute mayhem. They've actually named specific organizations that they're going to be targeting. Things like FreedomWorks actually is on their list of targets, and so FreedomWorks has already put out an alert saying, hey, we're ready, we're not going to back down to these threats. But this is also very clear in the Transition Integrity Project's war game scenarios. Basically, if they don't get their way, They fully intend on making life as miserable as possible for as many people, and that means we can expect to see more riots, we can expect to see more looting, we can expect to see more civil unrest, and I think a significant amount of additional violence. And I saw a meme that put it perfectly. Democrats are basically saying, hey, vote for us to destroy America, or we're going to destroy America. And I mean, that's where we are now. Wow. If they don't get their way in this election, by whatever means necessary, they are planning to unleash absolute chaos in our streets that might make what we saw after George Floyd look mild by comparison.
I mean, we're talking anarchy. I mean, we're talking what it would look like, a society without government, without law, just total disregard for authority, total disorder. I mean, that is the goal and the plan.
That's right. And they expect that out of this chaos, they'll be able to come in and seize power. So I think that is their objective. In these different war game scenarios that they had from the Transition Integrity Project, there was only one scenario where Donald Trump actually won the election, and I think that shows you how skewed their views on things are. But what was interesting was in that one scenario, they were going to unleash just hordes of radicals and revolutionaries into the streets to burn things down, to cause absolute chaos, and then say, hey, Donald Trump, we're not going to let you become president unless we secure these major concessions. You're going to have to abolish the Electoral College. You're going to have to let Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico enter the Union as states so we can get four more Democrat senators in the U.S. Senate. They're talking about a fundamental transformation of this country, and they plan to get it with or without Joe Biden in the White House. So it's, you know, it's a very, very dangerous time right now in America, almost unprecedented, with a handful of exceptions going back to, you know, the Civil War. We have not seen anything like this. It's a very dangerous time for our nation.
Now, folks, you say it sounds like radical conspiracy, but just go online, just call up boarding up businesses in D.C. I mean, you're going to find source after source that is talking about what is going on in D.C. in preparation for this and this shut down D.C. as they proclaim themselves to be. Is it just me, Alex, or does this have the fingerprints of George Soros on it?
It absolutely does. There's, again, this huge constellation of organizations. The Sunrise Movement is one of the crucial ones. This is backed primarily by the Rockefeller money. The Rockefeller Family Foundation is actually their single largest source of funds, and originally they were kind of rallying around the Green New Deal. Now they're rallying around abolishing our police departments. I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they want. And then you have, of course, Black Lives Matter. We've known for many years now that Black Lives Matter it's a Marxist organization run by self-proclaimed Marxists who want to dismantle the family, and one of their largest sources of funds, aside from all these Fortune 500 American companies like Facebook, Amazon, Google, etc., is George Soros, going clear back to what happened in Ferguson. We've got a 2015 document from the George Soros organization, from their U.S. program board, the Open Society Foundation, where they said, hey, we'd like to make this into a national movement of Black Lives Matter, and our goals will be to dismantle local law enforcement, dismantle inequality that's upheld by local law enforcement. So they've had this agenda for a long time, huge amounts of George Soros money coming in, and other money.
We'll be back in just a minute. Alex Newman with us here today. COVID totalitarianism, and we've got the 2020 election critical issues that we're facing right now. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free healthcare, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is no accident that you are here for such a time as this. You have the stewardship of a vote. You know, people have died for you to have the right to go cast your vote in this election. People have given their lives to preserve the freedom we have for you to cast your vote. Can you at least honor the sacrifice that they have made for our nation in that regard? Think of it also as a stewardship given by God, that as a citizen of the United States, that you have been given the stewardship of a vote to care for that vote. And how are you going to cast that vote? You're going to throw it down on the road and just have it being walked over? Are you going to cast that vote in a way that is going to be pleasing to God and how you vote? And that's why we say so often to be informed and vote prayerfully as you go to these elections. Friends, there is much at stake as we think about this nation, and we haven't really mentioned it here earlier today. We've done on several other programs, but about life itself, about the sanctity of human life. We think also, Alex referred to the whole aspect of the Equality Act. Do you want boys who want to identify as girls going into the dressing rooms, locker rooms, and showers of your daughters? That's another issue that's at stake in this election. Many, many matters. And Alex, I've heard from those who said that, you know, there's not any difference between. I can't vote for either one of these candidates. We have to also remember that whoever wins the White House is going to determine every cabinet level position who are going to have these rules that come down through energy, the environment, education, on and on. Housing, we think of HUD, we think of the destruction of suburbs here across the nation. I mean, it is endless the impact that's going to be made by this vote.
That's right. This is this is more than just an election between two candidates, two personalities, two mild differences in political opinion. This is really an election on the future of our country, the future of our civilization, the future of liberty. That's how high the stakes are. And the other side recognizes this, too. That's why they are so bound and determined to do anything they think is necessary to win it. So it's, again, a very dangerous and difficult time for our country. But I'm confident that God is working in all of this. Mm-hmm. I see God working in all of this. And as Christians, I mean, with full confidence in the Lord, we can be cheerful, we can be joyful, and we can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. But we must, as citizens, be involved in this. You know, God gives very clear instructions about the purpose of government. Government is supposed to punish evil, right? And that is, I think, what Donald Trump is attempting to do. The mass murder of unborn babies is a very obvious example of something that is evil, but is not only not being punished, it's being encouraged by our government. And so if it is true that this is a government of the consent of the people, a government of we the people, then we the people have a duty to use our power as citizens to shape government into what God says government should be, which is a force that punishes evil and protects the good. And this election, you know, it's so clear. One side wants to openly call evil good and good evil. The other side wants to stop the mass murder of babies. The other side wants to stand in the way of globalism. So the stakes are very, very high, and the contrast could not be more clear.
Friends, we think also about the nomination of judges and who are going to fill those federal judge seats. What about future openings on the U.S. Supreme Court and the appellate courts as well? This also will make determination, and it is more than just the White House, folks. You got to think of the other issues on the ballot. Every member of the House of Representatives up for election, 1/3 of the United States Senate. And then you think about your state houses as well, your state assemblies and House seats and Senate seats. Some of you voting on governors, referenda questions galore here across this nation as well, and district attorney races. We see how important those are to George Soros. All of these issues at stake in this election. And so, again, prayerfully consider, be informed on the candidates, and cast a prayerful vote. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Alex, we've really hit a number of topics and more of a survey approach. I mean, we talked about what's happening with COVID and this totalitarianism that's taking place. You know, the shutdown of Illinois. We see the new massive orders going out in the state of Michigan, and we could go state by state to see some of the matters that are going on. So we've talked about the impact we've we've talked about now this group that is rising up, the Corona Extra Parliamentary Inquiry Committee, that is filing promising international class action lawsuits in this regard. But we have the COVID issue. We've got the shutdown D.C. We've got the whole aspect of George Soros. You talked about the Great Reset, the Sunrise Movement, and we mentioned the shutdown D.C. These are not isolated pieces. They all fit together, don't they?
That's exactly right. It's all part of one big unified problem, and people look at the tentacles and they don't realize that they're all coming from a central place. I think as Christians, just from our reading of the Bible, it should be very clear what we're dealing with, right? The kingdom of darkness is mad. Satan is looking for people to devour, whose souls he can take, and that manifests itself in the evil that we're seeing being manifested all over the country now. And all of these issues are connected. And a lot of it, even it seems contradictory, once you really drill down into it, you see that not only is it not contradictory, it makes perfect sense. For example, the super capitalists, people like George Soros, people like Facebook and Google, funding actual Marxist movements, revolutionary communist groups. You think, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would super capitalists and billionaire businessmen be funding communist revolutionaries and Marxists? Well, for the same reason that they've been doing it for the last 100 years, right? They actually don't like competition. They do like power. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evils or all kinds of evils, depending on what translation you use. And there was actually an incredibly important book, Tragedy and Hope, written by Carol Quigley, where he addresses this exact subject. He talks about this powerful international Anglophile network that is seeking to build a one-world government. Once you put this all through the lens of the Bible, you see clearly what's happening. And he talked about how these mega financiers, these oligarchs, these people who run the banks of Wall Street, the people who you know own the economy, were deliberately working with Marxists and communists. He says they all have the same objective. They're working together. Their objective is an end to liberty, an overturning of everything that God has ordained, right? Family, marriage, civil government, private property rights, what's good and honest and decent and honorable, and replacing all of that with evil and with perversions of the things that God has ordained. We see it all very, very clearly. And so once you dig down, once you look at it through a biblical lens, it's all perfectly in line with what we would expect to see just from what God has revealed to us in His Word.
And friends, what Alex has just shared is an echo of last Thursday and Friday Crosstalk, the message from Gary Kaa, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. By the way, our phone lines were inundated last Thursday and Friday for requests for that. If you missed out, you couldn't get through, you can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829 to get copies of that CD or DVD. They'll tell you how. 800-729-9829. Alex continuously writes on these types of issues. You can read his articles at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Let's go to Christine calling in from Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Alex, thank you so much. Best Crosstalk guest ever. Sorry, my opinion. Thank you, sir. I try to share this information constantly. In fact, this Sunrise story just came out, and I have tried to share this information with others, and it seems they, other Christians especially, don't really want to hear it. I think it causes them great fear. Do you have any suggestions on how to get people to step out of that? Because God's Word is being unfolded here in a tremendous fashion, and I don't know why people have such a hard time dealing with that. This is stuff that we have to face.
Thank you, Christine.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Christine. Thank you for the kind words and encouragement. And the Lord has actually opened doors for me just in the last few months to preach in churches all over Florida and all over Oklahoma on this exact topic. And what I have found is that Christians are reluctant to examine all this and to look at it, partly because of false ideas that have been implanted in their minds, partly out of fear. And what I tell people, you know, God has already told us how this is all going to end, too. So there's absolutely no reason for any Christian to fear. We know the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but even more importantly than that, we know that God is going to absolutely crush, absolutely pulverize the machinations of the enemy. God tells us not to be ignorant of the designs of the evil one. God tells us we should be reproving and exposing evil. And so I think there's actually a mandate for Christians to to examine these things, to understand these things, and to oppose and expose these things. And I think the Bible makes that case very clearly. And I think it's easier to get Christians to willingly look at this and to get involved actively by showing them that it is a fact. If you trust God's word as the word of God, it is a fact that he is going to crush all of it. So all of this evil that we see that just seems to intensify, that seems to accelerate, it's all going to be ended. At some point, it seems like to me, in the not-too-distant future, I don't know if it's coming in 2 years, 20 years, or 200 years, maybe 2,000, I don't know. But we do know God makes it very clear to us in the Gospels, in Revelation, in Daniel, just over and over and over again. All of this evil is going to be crushed. And that's really good news for Christians. I mean, if you are a Christian, you are a child of God, you are a part of God's kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness is going to be crushed. So we should be celebrating about this. There's absolutely no reason to fear. All it does is confirm that every word of God's word is true, and it should make us even more confident in doing what he's called us to do.
Thank you, Christine. We've got William in New Mexico. William, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I think we should, as believers, all the people of God should pray for the undecided votes, that God would work in their hearts, their minds, their souls, their spirits, and they could actually make the determining factor on this. And we have nothing to fear, but again, I want to emphasize, we need to pray to God and through his Holy Spirit that he would tug in the hearts of the undecided voters, guys. Come on, and it's not over till it's over. Let's not talk like if we're defeated. I mean, we have to be positive about this. Again, Pray to God and tug the hearts of the undecided voters to make the right choice for President Trump. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, William. And, we can't underemphasize the aspect of prayer, Alex, in all of this.
That's right. God answers prayer. He tells us repeatedly he answers prayer. And so like every Christian should be praying over this election. We should be praying over our leaders. We should be praying that God's will would be done. And, thank you so much for the call, William. I agree with you. We were praying for that at church just yesterday, actually, all of us together. It would be wonderful if God would give us another 4-year reprieve, maybe really turn this nation back to righteousness.
Yeah.
And, maybe give us decades more to raise our children and proclaim the gospel. America has taken the gospel all over the world, unlike any other nation in human history. And so I don't think God is done with America yet, and I pray that he will give us more time. And on the subject of optimism, I think Christians need to be optimistic all the time, no matter what. Even if Biden gets in and, the whole country comes crashing down around us and it's all on fire, we should still be optimistic. But I agree with you, William, that, we all ought to be praying that our God, our Father, our King would have mercy on our nation and his will would be done in this election.
Let's go to Tom in Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air, Tom.
Yes, regarding George Soros and his advocacy for I can't call it anything but the overthrow of the United States government, back when I was growing up in the 1950s, I remember hearing a number of news stories about people being accused of advocating the violent overthrow of the United States government, and they were prosecuted. Why can't this happen to George Soros?
Great question. We're up against a break. We'll have Alex address that right after the break. Thank you for the call. Tom in Oregon, back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. There is a spiritual battle going on. And in this election, it is definitely a spiritual battle. Black Lives Matter has openly admitted Patricia Kallours, the one, by the way, who said she is a trained Marxist, has admitted on an audio and a video with the Black Lives Matter founder of Los Angeles that they call up the spirits of the dead. They openly admit they even get instruction from them. They're talking to them. Well, you and I know that it's appointed unto every man to die once and then face the judgment. They're not talking to dead individuals. They're talking to demons. They openly admit they call on their spirits to empower them and even begin many of their Black Lives rally riots or whatever you want to call them, protests, with a prayer. they are involved, by their own admission, in a spiritual event, the spirit of darkness. Pray for America.
Alex Newman is our guest here today on Crosstalk, hitting a number of topics today. You'll find Alex's writings at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Alex, the question came in just before that break. What about Soros? I mean, this matter of his goals of overthrowing government, he's done it in other nations before. Why can't he be tried for this?
Fantastic question. And one of my colleagues and a good friend of mine, William Jasper, he's the other senior editor of the New American Magazine, he did a cover story a couple of years ago on George Soros, and it was called Soros, the God Who Should Be Jailed. And what he did was he laid out multiple federal and state statutes that are flagrantly being violated by George Soros. The advocating the overthrow of our government and trying to fund a revolution in our streets is one among many. And, you know, there is a place for people who want to bring about change. We have a political process, and even people with terrible ideas, even people with absolutely horrifying ideas, have a right to participate in that political process. We have an amendment process for people who don't like the way the Constitution is written. We have a mechanism in place for that to be changed legally, lawfully. And that process is outlined in Article 5. There's two different methods to do it. So if George Soros is so unhappy with America, he is, you know, a naturalized U.S. citizen, he has a right to be involved in the political process. What he doesn't have a right to do is help to undermine the foundations of our nation, to help bring about the violent overthrow of our nation, to fund and encourage riots. I mean, all of this is wildly out of line. And I would bring it right back to the churches. I mean, in my opinion, clearly he ought to be prosecuted at the state and the federal level. I encourage people to go read that article by William Jasper. He lays out the specific statutes that Soros is just flagrantly violating. But beyond that, you know, I would say the church needs to be concerned here too. George Soros is funneling huge amounts of money into evangelical churches, mm-hmm. into Catholic organizations, and into Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox organizations. And this is having a very insidious effect. One of the movements he was helping to fund, for example, was the Evangelical Immigration Roundtable, where they were advocating for open borders and mass Islamic immigration into the United States. Why are we letting a self-proclaimed atheist who often says he feels like God with a little G, why are we letting him fund our Christian institutions and our Christian organizations? Don't we have enough faith in God to provide that we need to take money from somebody who's openly hostile to God and to his word? I would think so, but yeah, absolutely, Colin. Thank you very much for calling in. I think Soros needs to be prosecuted. He's just flagrantly breaking the law, funding revolution in the streets. That's so far out of bounds. It's not even within the realm of what might possibly be construed as acceptable. It's criminal, and something needs to happen with this.
Let's get to Mark in Monroe. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, at a recent Trump rally, the suggestion of firing Fauci was brought up. And Trump let on that it was a strong possibility, but after the election, my question is how political and pivotal would that affect the aftermath of tomorrow's election?
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to know how exactly that might affect the election. I've been advocating for Donald Trump to fire Fauci clear back to the beginning. There are so many skeletons in this guy's closet. I mean, he was actually directing federal funding from our taxpayers to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where this coronavirus almost conclusively came from. So Fauci, I think, is very, very bad news. He's been one of the key fearmongers who's helped to destroy our economy and bring about all this tyranny under the guise of fighting the virus. I wish Trump had fired him earlier, but, hey, better late than never. So,
Marie, Lake Geneva, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Thank you. All I wanted to say is let us all remember that God is almighty and all-powerful.
Amen.
He is the judge. God will not let evil prevail. Amen. So let's remember he will not let the evildoers win. So let's just all pray and stay together in Jesus' precious name. Let us all pray.
Thank you, Marie. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Alan Bridgeport. You're on the air, West Virginia.
Jim, thanks for taking my call. And Brother Alex, I appreciate you coming on, man. Listen, you want to talk about the sun rising? Well, the sun did rise, and that's because we all have hope now because of that. And if he did not rise, it'd be a big difference in the big picture. But Alex, you touched on it earlier. God has the plan. It's written. We know it. We just got to believe him and trust him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. And tell you, we're going to get one more call in, and then we'll have some final comments. This is Paul in Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes. I was just wanting to know what we'll be able to listen to get the accurate updates on the voting, since the news media is so corrupted. And also, can the Supreme Court be able to stop the extended voting?
Alex, any thoughts?
Good question. Unfortunately, I don't know of any national news agencies that will be providing reasonable, accurate election coverage. And that's not all because that's not necessarily because they all want to be providing misleading information, but it's because the sources of information in many cases are going to be corrupted. I'll be providing some election night coverage tonight on the show Unraveling the Narrative, and also on Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog show. But, you know, the numbers are coming in from government officials. I think in most of the Republican states, it'll probably be reasonably accurate. A lot of what's coming out of the Democrat states, I think, is going to be suspect at best. And so that's very, very problematic. But I do encourage people to watch carefully about the Supreme Court. You know, I don't think this election is going to be decided tomorrow night. At least the final outcome will not be announced. And so we may be wondering what happened for weeks afterward, and it may fall to the Supreme Court to get involved, and I think that would be a less than optimal scenario, but I don't think it's out of the question by any means. So.
Yeah, and really, we've got mixed, thank you for the call here, Paul, we've got mixed decisions coming from the Supreme Court. I mean, some states, like Wisconsin, I'm thankful, all ballots have to be in by the end of Election Day tomorrow. I mean, they have to receive them by tomorrow when the polls close. But in other states, Alex, they're allowing votes to come in by ballots, you know, for a week after, plus 9 days or so after.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. And we actually had something similar going on in Florida where it seems, and in Alabama as well, in the election against Roy Moore, it seems like they were just manufacturing as many ballots as they thought they would need after the fact to put their candidate over the line. Now, in Florida, thankfully, our governor has taken care of that. Ron DeSantis, he actually removed the supervisor of elections down in Broward County, sent a well-known, tough prosecutor down there to make sure there was none of that funny business happening. But unfortunately, we have a lot of areas in this country where you have Democrat rulers at the state, at the local, at the county, at the elections level, all the prosecutors, and there I think there's some real risk for funny business.
Alex Newman, our guest, you can read his columns at thenewamerican.com. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
And again, friends, recognize, yes, indeed, God is in control. Sometimes God does allow tyrants to take positions of authority in order for his will to be accomplished. But, folks, in the end, God's plan is all coming together. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.